Welcome back to another broadcast. I want to talk to you today about a different topic. I hope that you enjoyed the topic that we discussed when we were talking about perfectionism. And this one may seem to be very similar to it, but it's really not. But before we get into the study, let's just talk about a word, and I'll bring up the topic of insecurity. What is insecurity? Well, I guess a synonym for that could be fear. But what is someone afraid of if they are insecure? Sometimes insecurity or that type of fear can be fear of physical harm. They're insecure because they're afraid that they're going to be physically harmed or emotionally harmed. But sometimes insecurity can also be the fear of being rejected. And many times as young people when we are growing up, that there are situations that have occurred where we've been rejected. Everybody has. You can't go through junior high without you being a boy and noticing a girl and you like her and you kind of send a note to her or you say something via your best buddy to say to some girl who's her best friend and only to get the message back that she's not interested. And boy, rejection can happen. But it didn't start there. It started probably even sooner back in our lives where we did not satisfy, once again, satisfy our parents or satisfy some expectation that was put upon us. And then we start not striving for perfection like we talked about in perfectionism, but we start performing so that we can get people to love us or we can get people's approval. In other words, we're not striving for perfection. This person is striving to do things so that people will approve them or love them or accept them. And it could have started, you know, not trying to do your best to prepare for life, but it became doing well in school to be accepted or to please your parents. And I'm not against parents trying to motivate their children to get good grades, but the motive should be that we're supposed to be doing our best for the Lord and we are always acceptable in Him. But after a while, our minds start to change and we start to do things so that we'll be accepted by people. Do you know anybody who's what we'll call a social chameleon? They'll be and act whatever they need to do to be accepted by the circle that they're in at that time. If they're with one group of people, they will act one way. And if they're with a completely different group of people, they will act in whatever manner they're acting because they want to be accepted by people. And they're doing this because they're insecure. And we go through our childhood, our adolescent years, and we hope that when we get married and get into our adult years, that these things will just kind of shed away from us like a snake sheds a skin. But they don't. They begin to dig roots in our lives. And then this performance to be accepted or loved starts to show up in our marriage, starts to show up in our relationships at work, starts to show up in our friendships. And so think of some things, and I'm going to give you a few examples here. And let's see if you fall into this trap or this lie of, I must have everyone else's love and approval. In case you're hung up on the discussion that I had about children working to get good grades, stop and think for a minute. I always make good grades because I want my parents to be proud of me. Well, let me ask you, are they not proud of you? And what do you have to do to make them proud? And see, if you have to do something beyond what maybe you're able to do, you can fall into that trap. Let me look at a different one here. Let's talk about your relationship with your mate. I always allow my wife to choose the restaurant that we're going to eat in because I'm afraid I'll choose the wrong place and she'll be disappointed with me. Now, see, that's a lot different than I don't want to pick a place that's not going to be pleasing to her. It's that I don't want to pick the place because then she'll be disappointed in me. Can you see the difference in it? Let's look at another one. My teenager asks for money. I always give him some because I don't want them to dislike me. Have you met people that are like that? Let's talk about your coworkers. I know that my coworker is taking advantage of me, but I can't say no to them because I'm afraid that they won't like me anymore. See, we're really looking at individuals that are not living their lives like they should live living for the Lord, or just living a free and healthy lifestyle, which we would call in the liberty that the Lord's given us. But what they're doing is they're trying to live so that they please their kids, they please their wife, they please their coworker, who really is actually not even taking care of them and treating them in a nice way. Let's talk about your relationship with your friends. I always babysit my friend's three-year-old whenever she asks me, even if there's something else I need to do. I'm afraid if I don't, she won't be my friend anymore. Does that sound right to you? No, of course it doesn't. How about your enemies? There's a guy at work who's out to get me. He blames his mistakes on me, but I find it very difficult to confront him. He knows this and is using it to his advantage. And then there's the ultimate one. I know in my heart that God loves me, but my head tells me that I have to earn God's love. I'm constantly performing to please God. And those individuals, they are so trapped in this lie, because no matter what happens, they never seem to serve enough, to pray enough, to read enough, to share the gospel enough, to serve enough, to do anything enough. Oh, they might really become more anxious and really try and feel like they're living the way the Lord wants and now he's pleased with me, but sooner or later that wears off. I remember there was an individual in our church when I was just a young Christian, and it would happen about every 6 months. This woman would stand up and she'd share a testimony how that she really wanted to know and get God to show her that he loved her. And then she'd share how the Lord showed her in this passage right here. And she'd read it, and you could see how the Lord spoke to her. And he showed me that he loves me. And she'd be in tears, and she shared how she's just going to live in the fact that God loves her. However, because of things that had happened in her past and some standards that she was trying to live up to in her own personal life, or some ideal of what she thought a Christian mother needed to be, she was always trying to perform to be that model parent, the model wife, the model mother, the model Christian woman. And inside, she never measured up to her, and she'd beat herself up. And she figured, she'd never say this, but she'd be thinking this, how could God love somebody who's such a failure like me? What was her problem? She thought she had to try and prove to do something to get God to love her. You know what? That was affecting her in so many different relationships. And so I want to talk a little more and talk about how these lies are affecting us. You know, they're affecting us in quite a few different areas. Just stop and think. After a period of time, a person who lives to try and get the approval of others, that person loses his or her true identity. They're no longer living themselves. They're no longer performing like they want to from their heart and just live their lives. They're living based on what their parent wants, based on what their friend wants, based on what their mate wants, based on what their best friend wants, based on what their coworker wants. And they're living to please all those different people. And after a while, they're no longer living their own lives. They no longer have their own personal identity. How they are, what they are, how they act is based on other people who are around them. You know, if you're living in this lie, the expectations of others are placed above doing what is right. Now, the Lord might want you to do one thing, but you're afraid that if you don't do this, that an individual will no longer be your friend or they won't accept you anymore. You know, let me just give an illustration of somebody I know. I know a guy who promised somebody that on Saturday he would help them move. They moved from one house to another. On Thursday, just before that Saturday, somebody asked this individual, "Can you help me do this?" And it was on that Saturday at the same time that he had previously committed to help those people move. Now, the individual did not forget, but they could not tell this person who asked them on Thursday if they could help them on Saturday. And he didn't want to tell them no, so he told them yes. Why was he doing that? He was doing that because he didn't want to be displeasing to them, because he was living to try to be acceptable. You know, there are different people that can fall in this trap, and many times it falls into things that have happened in your past. You know, you find somebody who maybe has been maybe married, and then the individual decided that they didn't love them anymore, and they left them, and they rejected them in an ultimate way. And now here they are now, after they've been wounded and so greatly rejected, they can feel that other folks would reject them. So what do they start doing? They start living for the pleasing of other people, pleasing men or pleasing women or pleasing friends or pleasing coworkers, because they can't afford to put themselves in a spot again where they're going to be rejected. There are individuals that have this problem, maybe not all, but some that I've known have been individuals that have been adopted out. I can think of one person that was adopted out as an infant, never knew their mother, biological mother, or never knew their biological father. But they had this, we'll call it a complex, they had this struggle that they had to please people so that they could be accepted. Probably because when they found out that they were adopted, they probably were in the bathroom one day after they were brushing their teeth or whatever in their bedroom, looking in the mirror and looking at themselves and trying to figure out, why didn't they want me? Well, what's wrong with me? Was there something wrong with me that they see that I don't see? Why didn't they love me? Why didn't they want me? And I've dealt with people who've been in that type of a hurtful lifestyle, and the tendency for them is to no longer allow themselves to be in a spot where they're going to be rejected. And so they live to please people. You know, they get to the point where they're willing to do whatever they need to do for somebody else, even if it might not be the right thing. They might commit themselves to do something on a time when they should be going to church. They might commit themselves to do something that they really believe the Lord does want them to do, but they cannot tell that person no. When we live in this lie, responsibility is assumed for the other person's interest and perceptions. In other words, we are more concerned about their interest and how they look at us and how they perceive us. And they're all the effects of a person who lives in the lie of, I must earn everyone's love and acceptance. You know, there is more concern about what people think of you than the rightness of the actions that you're doing. When a person believes this lie, the person creates tension in his or her relationship with God. Put simply, trying to please people often stands in the way of pleasing God. Look at what the Apostle Paul says to the believers at Galatia. Galatians 1:10 says this, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." Can you see the conflict there? Romans 15:2, "Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification." See, God wants to use us to build other people. And in 1 Corinthians 10:33, "Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved." See, when we do things for other people, it's for what God wants us to do, not doing things for other people so that they would look at us in an acceptable way. We'll talk about that again. But until the next time, God bless.